Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for turning your clocks in the right direction. Thank you for turning your clocks at all. And that's why you're here on time. So thank you so much. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a bulletin. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. If you are a guest, thank you so much for choosing to be with us this morning. And hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table in the foyer. That would be so helpful to us. So open up your bulletin if you have one. If you don't have one, then just kind of sit there with your hands folded, and we'll see what happens, all right? So right after our morning worship service, we have church family dinner. And so, yes, looking forward to that. That's always a cool thing. Monday night here at the church at 7 p.m., we have ladies' Bible study. If you are a guest with us here today, and that's something that would interest you, we'd love to have you come and join us for that. Tuesday night at 6:30 here at the church, we have men's Bible study. Again, if you are a guest with us, you'd like to come and join us for men's Bible study, that would be great. Wednesday at 1 p.m., we have Joy Bible study here at the church. For those of you who aren't sure what Joy means, it means just older youth, but you don't have to be an old person to be able to come and join us for Bible study. And so just if you have the time available, come and do that. Thursday night is our Awana night. It's pig night, so we're going to have a lot of bacon on legs wandering around here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, we had lots of bacon at men's breakfast, by the way. So if you didn't show up for men's breakfast, you missed bacon and eggs and blueberry pancakes. So next men's breakfast, you need to be making sure that you're signed up for that. Ladies, at 10 a.m. on Saturday, there's Ladies Coffee Connection, and so there's details about that in the bulletin. So just let me say this, that starting on Friday, Becky and I will be on vacation, and we'll be on vacation for a week. So if you need pastoral assistance, contact Jared or Robert, and they'll be happy to be able to help you. By the way, Jeremy and Christine will be on vacation with us. Ryan will be on vacation with us. Don and Andrew will be on vacation with us. Gavin will be on vacation with us. And so will Silas. And so all of us are going on a family vacation. So if you want to know the details, come up after church and ask me, and I'll give you the details, all right? Well, we have a couple birthdays to celebrate today. So today, Dan Cadwell has a birthday. So Dan, just stand where you're at. And so, and then just a couple days ago, someone in our church family turned 18. And you only turn 18 once in your life, right? So, Jonas, stand up where you are. So let's sing happy birthday to both of these gentlemen, okay? Let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dan and Jonas. Happy birthday to you.
See them after the service. Please make sure that you greet them and that you tell them happy birthday. Hey, have you come to praise the Lord?
Yes, yes.
Have you come to worship?
Come on.
Yes. Have you come to think about Him?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you come to listen to His word?
Yes.
Have you come to just say, Jesus, I love you? That's what this is all about. Amen? Yeah. Let's do it.
Would you all stand with me as we sing?
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for to God and praise and love be ever, ever given. By saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no less days. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Please be seated as we continue. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen.
Amen.
How amazing is that grace that we've been given? God is so good to us, isn't He? He's so, so good. We can count on Him, we can trust Him, because He is our great provider.
Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, You know what You're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow, what it will bring. If I have You, I have enough, 'cause Your love will satisfy. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it every single time. provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Yeah. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
Lord, we can trust you. We can trust you because you're faithful and you're good. Lord, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being trustworthy. Thank you for being gracious. And thank you for being good. Amen.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. And Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. And Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy. from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Lord, you deserve all the glory today. We give it to you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. You're worthy of it all. We lift up your great name. Oh, you're wonderful. So wonderful. Amen. As our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, we got one more song about, guess what? God's goodness. You are good and all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. I've never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. Oh, I can see your mercy. Follow me all my days. Oh, it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You called me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You've saved me from the brink of falling, mercy shutting doors before me. Now I see all the good you've done. When it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you.
You believe that this morning? Every good thing comes from him. Every promise either has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled, just as he said it would be. What a wonderful God we have. Amen? Amen. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Father, we are just so grateful to be able to have just been reminded as we've sang these songs of praise to you, Father, how good you are. Thank you for reminding us of your goodness. And Father, as your word is opened up to us this morning, help us to be reminded once more of how good you are. And Father, I just pray that it will not just be words that we hear, but Father, that it will make a difference in the way that we live. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Go ahead, Dia. Go. All right. Aren't they precious?
Yes.
Yes. They're all precious in their own way. Those are one of the good things we sang about that God gives to us, right, as children. Well, I don't know if you are aware, but as a pastor, sometimes there are sermons to preach that are really easy. Sometimes there are sermons to preach that are not so easy. This happens to be one of those. So have we been getting closer and closer to chapter 1 and verse 27 here in the book of Genesis, it was becoming more and more problematic for me, because there's a whole lot of things that could be said about this verse. There could be a whole lot of things said that wouldn't be good. Could be a whole lot of things that could be good. So hopefully today we're just going to let God and His Holy Spirit be in charge of where we're going to go with chapter 1, verse 27. So, with that being said, I want to begin this message called Only Two with some ground rules and some foundational points. Now, I know here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we don't have a whole lot of rules. We don't have hardly any. But this morning, I want us to be able to follow some. So I'm going to share some of these with you. So the topic we will be addressing may not be appropriate for everybody, as I will be sharing information some may not want to hear. Here's the second thing. Most of the time, I love hearing amens when I'm preaching. But I'm going to ask you to refrain this morning out of respect for an individual or a family member who may know someone who is personally struggling with this current issue. Next week, when William preaches, you can give him all the amens you can, okay? And I know that he'll be blessed as a result of that. We're going to be guided by the biblical framework that we learned from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, last Sunday morning, where everyone matters to God because everyone is made in the image and the likeness of God. Because we are image bearers of God, our purpose, remember, is to reflect, reveal, and represent Him. My goal is to clearly present what God's Word has to say about this issue. I hope right now you could send up a silent prayer to God that that goal will be met. I am not a biologist or a part of the medical community, although I have had some medical education in my past. As a pastor and communicator of God's Word, I am committed to preach and teach with biblical conviction and with compassion and sensitivity to show how God's way is the best way to live. We are not to conform God's word to our opinions or feelings, but instead we are to conform our opinions and feelings to God's word. I will not cave on sin, nor will I judge sinners, but I am committed to follow God's word. So my purpose with today's sermon is to inform you so that you may think biblically, strengthen your biblical convictions, strengthen your courage, and to help you to know how to pray considering this current issue in our society. We live in an age of unprecedented confusion about sexual identity. And here is the clearest summary of what God's word teaches on this subject. In God's creative action, he created everyone as male and female, only two. As we continue in this study of Genesis 1, we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, and hopefully you found Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 27 as I read it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. These 12 words in Hebrew are arranged in three lines, each with its own poetic cadence. Just as a poem is often employed to accentuate something with carefully chosen words and images, so God describes with clear language how men and women are created in his image. Now the word so here in verse 27 connects to verse 26 and expresses agreement or confirmation. Three times the word created is used here in verse 27, emphasizing the uniqueness of God creating humans as male and female. And from this point on, humanity is divided into two groups, male and female. And also the fact that we are made in God's image is stated two times in this verse, and I think it's there for a particular emphasis. So let's spend some time this morning pondering the declaration, male and female, he created them. In the Hebrew, it reads this way, as male and female created he them. No matter how you read it, whether you read it in the Hebrew or whether you read it as it's been translated into whatever English version you have in front of you, it says the same thing. He created male and female. Males and female are equal, but not identical, because of their biological anatomy is separate and distinct. God created males and females on purpose with different purposes. We have been made differently by design with distinct capacities and roles to fulfill our God-given mandate to serve as stewards of the earth. Now, there are three primary characteristics that distinguish males from females. Different reproductive anatomy, different external anatomy, the presence or absence of a Y chromosome. A person's gender is designed by the Creator God. Let me say that again. A person's gender is designed by the Creator God, not by opinion, not by culture, not by influence. A person's gender is designed by the Creator God and is evident from the moment of conception, from DNA to the reproductive anatomy. God is the giver of gender. A person's biological anatomy and gender are fixed and finite, not fluid. Males and females do not have interchangeable anatomy, and those differences are not inconsequential. Both the Bible and biology make this clear. Let me say it again for emphasis. A person's biological anatomy and gender are fixed and finite, not fluid. The phrase according to its kind or according to their kinds is used 10 times in Genesis chapter 1 to indicate that there are separate species and genders which are distinct and different. Human beings are not any different in relation to that. The creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 through 27 shows how God separated many things. Remember, God separated the light from the darkness. God separated the waters from the waters above, separated the waters above from the waters below. God separated the dry land from the waters below. God separated day from the night. By the way, it wasn't God who who instituted the advancement of our clocks in the spring and the retreat of our clocks in the fall. That was man. Remember? God, time was given to man. God is not bound by time. God separated the day from the night. God separated humankind into two biological genders. In God's creative action, he created everyone, male and female, only two. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, if you drop down to that verse, we see how Adam and Eve were made to complement each other. They were created with their anatomy to complement each other in an intimate relationship so that one of the purposes could be for them to have children. We already talked about how precious they are, right? God gave them to us. And this is all part of the blessing given by God when he made men and women with different bodies. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Because of God's creative and wise design, when Adam and Eve came together physically in their God-created genders with their distinctive reproductive anatomy, they were able to produce the next generation. God's plan was for them to flourish and be fruitful. And I want you to think about this. When God created humans as male and female, he didn't just say it was good like he did the other parts of his creation. According to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, when God surveyed all that he had created, we read, and behold, he declared, it was very good. The word good means well-pleasing. And the word very has the idea of being exceedingly great. So notice the progression in these verses. Human beings are made in the image of God. He made them male and female. He made them to procreate. He declared it to be very good. So in light of that, can I ask a question this morning? If God declared it to be very good, who are we to come up with the idea that it's not good enough? It's not good enough. I want to be something else. I would rather make my own choice. Who are we to say to God, what you declared to be very good, not good enough for me? I think that's pretty bold. I think that's pretty selfish. So these foundational truths from Genesis chapter 1 help us resolve many moral matters, including the definition of marriage as one man and one woman united in a covenant relationship for life. We cannot change our gender, nor are we to have intimate relations outside of a monogamous marriage between one man and one woman. Let me remind you again, God's ways is always best. Jesus even confirmed the creation of Adam and Eve as different and distinct human beings as recorded in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. He said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? I'm going to add something here, only two. Jesus said something similar in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Jesus affirmed what it is that God had done, that he created male and female. So in God's creative action, he created everyone as male and female, only two. So in light of our culture, what do we do with this? Transgenderism is not biblical. And let me give you several reasons why it's not. Here's the first one. It is contrary to God's design for humanity. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It opposes God's design for you. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. It is confusing, and God is not a God of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. It makes provision for gratifying the desires of your flesh. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. It exchanges God's glory for man's. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It dishonors the body God gave to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. It brings about self-worship and the serving of yourself. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. It is unnatural and dishonorable. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. If you feel confused about this issue, it's because it is confusing. Many biological terms have been reinvented or redefined and have become readily accepted in just the most recent of years, even though the definitions themselves change often. God created male and female for distinguished purposes. God created male and female only two. Hormone treatment or surgery cannot reassign gender. It is impossible to change gender. You can only change appearance. Our birth gender cannot be changed. The XX or XY chromosome pattern is set by God at conception, and it stays with us continually. I have been told personally by people in the medical community that if a person was to die and if they tried to change the appearance of their gender, later on down the road, when their body, for whatever reason, might be dug up or might have DNA testing done to it, it would reveal what their birth gender was. They may have tried to change from a male to a female in their appearance. They can't change the DNA. They can't change the gender. Same way with a male trying to change to be a female. You can't change that. The DNA every single time will show the God-given DNA of his creative action. Concerning this current cultural issue, Focus on the Family made this statement. Every human possesses inherent dignity and immeasurable worth. Christians are called to defend and protect the marginalized and suffering among us. There is no place for shame or degradation. Biblical humility also guides us. Sin is pervasive and impacts each of us, and there's no room for pride or judgment. Temptations are common to us all. I think this statement can be valuable in helping us to navigate our culture at such a time as this. Now, let me say this. That if you know of somebody who is struggling with this issue of wanting to change the appearance of their gender and you don't know what to do for them, here's the first thing you can do. Pray. Pray for that person. Here's the second thing. Tell them that no matter what decisions they make, no matter what actions in their life they make, they are not beyond the love of God. They are not beyond the love of God. Remind them that they are not so far beyond the love of God, and God proved that by sending Jesus to go to the cross for them. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were still really good people, is that what it says? No. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though they're struggling with this issue that has become very prevalent in our culture, we can pray for them. We can tell them they're not beyond the love of God. We can love them enough to be able to reach out to them and to be able to tell them that God wants something better for them. That who they are as God created them and who they are as God designed them to be while they were still in their mother's womb matters to God. And it should matter to them. We can help them, hopefully, be able to change their thinking and to be able to understand how important this issue is to God. Because God has said in his word, he created every single human being, male and female, only two. So what do I want you to take away from this morning? Let me just give you 2 points. Do not be swept up by the philosophy of the culture, but do stand firm on the truths of God's word. Now, I realize this morning that some of you are going to say, wow, Pastor, that message was really short. You're right, because I could have got bogged down in a whole lot of stuff, and I refused to go there. I wanted you to see and to hear, no matter how much time it took or how much time it didn't take, for you to be able to know what God's word has to say about this prevalent, current issue in our world and society today. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us as believers not to be swept up by the philosophy of the culture. And Father, if there are family members, if there are friends, if there are people in our sphere of influence that are, Father, help us to be sensitive. Help us to be compassionate. Father, help us first and foremost to pray for them. Help us to be able to remind them that no matter what choices they are making, they're not beyond the scope of God's love. And God sent Jesus to go to the cross so that they could know him as Savior, so that they could know that they have the promise of eternal life by just believing in what it is that he did for them. Father, help us to have sensitivity and compassion, but yet help us to stand firm on the truth of your word. Father, may it be our conviction. Father, may it be how it is that we move and operate in a culture such as this, at a time such as this. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will learn to step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
We have church family dinner in about 15 minutes. We'll see you there.